sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line, as usual, in this second hour on Fridays is Pastor Chatfield. He always comes to us with a history lesson, a discussion, hopefully tying it into current events here by the end of the hour. Greatly appreciate him coming on today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I am in Shelby, North Carolina. So I've been traveling, literally, I've traveled over 2,000 miles promoting Fill America. What is that, you ask? That's the movement. Let's get everybody carry gospel tracts, pass them out at every opportunity. So I've been preaching at different churches and visiting churches and meeting other pastors and so on. So that's what I've been doing. I will not be back for Sunday, but I will be back a week from Sunday. I'll be in preaching in West Virginia Sunday morning and in Kentucky on Sunday evening.
Very cool. Very cool. How are things going? Are you being received well out there in the churches?
Yes, I think so. It's going well. I'm tired. I basically drove all night from yesterday morning. I was in Carroll, Georgia. Last night, I was in Jacksonville, Florida. Today, I'm in Shelby, North Carolina. I didn't get
any.
So there you go.
Well, we appreciate you waking up to come on the radio with us and have a lesson plan lined up for us. And this is kind of interesting. Memorable historical events in our lifetime. Do you have a list of them? How many
yes.
do you have?
I've got in front of me, I've got seven. And these are more of a topic. Truth is, Randy, I did not have time to prepare some but it's history, and we're going on. We're walking down memory lane. This is
sure.
history that you. This is the history that you and I can remember. They're memorable. Now, I'm not talking about personal events that are memorable. I'm talking about historical events that are memorable. The type of thing that you say, I know where I was when I heard that. I remember where I heard that.
Sure,
and that is the way that is. The first one is very memorable. November 22nd, 1963, I was in first grade. I was walking home from school, and somebody told me that the president was shot. And do you remember that event, the assassination of...
I was sitting in Yule Elementary on Shelby Road and 23 Mile Road in kindergarten class, and the principal, Mr. Roberts, with his big booming voice, came over the loudspeaker and said, boys and girls, history has been made in Dallas, Texas. I want you, when the bell rings, I want you guys who walk to school, I want you to go to your home, I want you to turn on TV, and I want you to watch the news. The president of the United States has been shot in Dallas, Texas. School buses will line up for those of you on the school bus. But I want you to go in an orderly fashion, get home as soon as you can, and turn on the news. And about 30 seconds later, the bell rang, and we packed up and left. And I ran down Helene Street and flew open the door, and my mom was sitting on the couch and watching Walter Cronkite with his big black rim glasses, basically taking his glasses off as he was tearing up, talking about the president being shot. I was in kindergarten, you know, basically, right. What, 5 years old when it happened.
Right. I'm 1 year ahead of you, and I was walking home. I was in Lincoln Elementary in Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Park. Excellent. Very good. Well, we'll continue on with Memory Lane and discussions with Pastor Chatfield from the road. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Did you know annuities are contracts, not investments, such as mutual funds? I illustrate to my clients what an annuity will do, not might do. It's all about guarantees. This is what is unique about annuities. They transfer the risk to the carrier to pay for the rest of your life. No other product on the planet can do that. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890, serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Road Trip, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip Likely to Succeed makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, The Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Everybody, welcome back. Second segment of our history lesson discussion, Walk Down Memory Lane with Pastor Chatfield. And Pastor Chatfield, if we could do this kind of like a test, Trucker Randy, if you could just say the date and then let me see how good I am at figuring out which historical event you're referring to. I appreciate it. We'll have some fun with this as well.
Okay. All right. And if the listeners want to send you a date, see if you can stump us, which you probably can. But nevertheless.
Okay.
Because this is recent history. This is our memory. And our memory.
Absolutely.
Here's one that you may not get, but I remember where I was. I was living in St. Clair, Michigan. It's about a year before we moved to Algonac. March 31st,
1968. 31st of 68.
Right.
I think that may have been an assassination of either Robert F. Kennedy or Martin Luther King. I'm not sure.
Good guess. Wrong, but a good guess. Because I remember when Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated, came down the stairs. My mom said, "Did you hear about Bobby Kennedy?" There was a kid in my school whose name was Bobby. He said, "What happened?" He said, "He got killed."
Whoa.
And then I found out, oh, we're talking about Robert F. Kennedy. That also was in 68, a little bit after this. But I was happening to be watching TV when this happened. March 31st, 1968, when Lyndon Baines Johnson announced that he was not going to run for president again.
Ah.
Remember, Johnson became president upon the assassination of Kennedy, and he defeated Barry Goldwater decisively in 1964. But by 1968, the Vietnam War was in full swing. He was bogged down. He was unpopular. He was satisfying nobody. And there was a very dovish wing of the Democratic Party that was wanting to pull out. Eugene McCarthy, let's get out right now. And the anti-war demonstrations, but he didn't satisfy the hawks either, because he wasn't going after it. Most of the Vietnam veterans that I know to this day still believe they're not fans of LBJ, because he didn't go after it. You know, if you're going to be in war, you got to go after it. As Douglas MacArthur said, indeed, in war, there can be no substitute for victory. And we did not. We did that in Korea and ended up in a stalemate when Truman fired MacArthur. And MacArthur was insubordinate. That's true. MacArthur wanted to win that war. And Truman wanted to just simply contain the Soviet Union, the North Koreans, the Chinese. And so we ended up right where we started for in a stalemate, and there it is to this day. But it was worse in Vietnam, and he was satisfying nobody. By this time, he had just had enough, and he wanted out. By the way, many a president wanted out. They did not. I mean, James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States, the one that preceded Abraham Lincoln, he wanted out. He was done. He did not want the presidency anymore. I mean, the country was falling apart. He essentially did nothing to stop it. Buchanan did not think that secession was constitutional, but he didn't think he had the power to stop it, and he was unwilling. And he could not get out of there fast enough. And there's other presidents. And I think Johnson was like that. He wanted out.
Sure.
It was too much pressure. Too much.
I got the text message from Captain Jeff up in Cedarville. He's challenging us. May 20th through the 21st of 1927.
Oh, man. Well, that's a little before I was born there, Jeff. sorry to walk down memory.
Before the Great Depression of 29.
27. Well, a lot of things. I took a course at Central Michigan on the Roaring Twenties. So let me think. What happened in the '20s? There were a bunch of strikes that were happening in the 1920s. I don't know if that's what. There was a couple of anarchists were convicted and executed in the 1920s. But 1920, Lindbergh. Flying across the ocean? Is that it? Might be.
Yeah, being that he's a pilot. Yes, you're right. You nailed it.
Yep.
Lindbergh's New York to Paris flight in the Spirit of St. Louis. There you go.
Amen. I was so happy that Jimmy Stewart did that. It was very good. I was so pleased.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, whatever. Great movie. Hey, yeah. The other thing I want to mention real quick about Johnson and his, you know, famous, you know, great society and how he was going to come up with all these socialist programs to keep black people voting Democrat for years. I won't use, of course, his words, but bottom line, Vietnam, though, was the end, like you said. He wanted out. And you mentioned Hoover and the other radical Democrats. Didn't Hoover run against Nixon in 68?
No, it was Humphrey. Humphrey was the vice president.
Right.
He was that radical. Humphrey, more or less, was going to carry on with the policies of Johnson. He defeated McCarthy in that election, and
yes.
Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. He probably right. would have won.
He probably would have won the nomination, yeah, sure.
Probably
absolutely.
Would have. But Nixon defeated Humphrey, and Humphrey was kind of a party man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he was.
I meant Humphrey. I misspoke. But yeah, he lost to Nixon, and then, of course, he won re-election in 72, and then Watergate happened, and the rest is history from there. Excellent.
Right.
Very good. Let's go with the next one.
January 28th, 1986.
Well, okay, that would have been during Reagan's second term.
I'll give you a hint. We have a major malfunction.
Was that earlier, I think. Was that the assassination attempt?
No.
The
assassination attempt was much earlier. That was back in 81.
Right after 81. He first got sworn into office.
Yes.
Okay, 86. Nope, sorry, it doesn't ring a bell.
That's when the Challenger exploded.
Oh, yes. I remember watching that live. We were in our real estate office down in Sterling Heights at the time. We had it on the TV. Everybody was excited, and boom, right there in midair. Yeah.
I was not watching it live, but a parent called the school and said, "You got to turn the TV on." And we did. And that was... And then remember when Ronald Reagan said that exploring isn't for cowards. We're going to keep going. I mean,
yep.
And we did. The space shuttle program, I think in retrospect, was not as successful as we thought it would be. After the last shuttle, by the way, I was in Florida and happened to see the second to the last launch of the shuttle back, what year was that? About 2000. Stick about, and maybe 2007. The shuttle program just didn't, and we've been on pause now for 20 years or close to it, in space exploration. I kind of like spending some money on space exploration. I know yeah. A lot of conservatives say, hey, we can't afford it, it's too expensive. Well, I suppose, but
well, it's funny. I have a little side note story on that. You remember the national convention in the presidential year 2016 when we went to Cleveland. We were in Cleveland at the national convention, and a friend of mine actually had sent me a video of the last shuttle when they were flying it into Washington, D.C. He was on a bus ride with some folks. And the last retiring flight for the shuttle taking, I believe they took it to the Smithsonian Institute. And I think that's where it's stored or housed now. But he was in a bus and on his iPhone took a video of the last shuttle landing at Dulles Airport right as they were in the bus on the highway going right parallel with the shuttle.
Wow.
And yeah, he sent that to me when we were at the national convention when Donald Trump won. The nomination, but yeah, that was amazing. You know what? I agree with you. I don't think it was as successful as what they had planned, but we're definitely moving forward. We've got some things that are just amazing coming here on the horizon.
President Trump's a big thinker. I don't care if you like him or not. He is a big thinker. And the people in the, that I've heard anyway, in the space program love him. They say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to Mars and we're going to keep going. And that's kind of what, you know, the human experience. That's what we do. It's what humans do, explore, go out to space. And yes, it's expensive. I realize that. But still, I kind of like it, to tell you the truth. I do. Let's space force and let's go. Let's be optimistic. That's one thing we can do. Okay, let me give you another one. And I'll probably have to give you a hint. Once I give you the hint, you'll probably get it. June 12th, 1987.
June 12th, 1987. Okay, a year later. Still Reagan. Okay, go ahead and give me the hint.
Mr. Gorbachev.
Tear down this wall.
Tear down this wall.
Yes, the fall of the Berlin Wall. And
yes.
You know, and it's so funny. I saw a documentary again on it just the other day, and speechwriters took that out three times, and Reagan kept putting it back. I think you even mentioned it on the show a couple of times. And it's amazing that without those words, it probably would never have happened.
You know, the media, remember, went ballistic on this. It, just like when President Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire. And when you stand up to somebody, the left and the Soviet Union, oh, this is, you know, harsh rhetoric and provocative and so on and so forth. But we didn't go to war. And guess what? The war did eventually get torn down, and not too many years later. So when you do that, things happen. Yeah, is it risky? I suppose it's risky. Yeah. Nevertheless, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And I when I'm in my idle moments, I'll go to YouTube and just watch it. I want to get goosebumps.
Sure.
If I want to get inspired. You know, that's I do that sometimes. Now
sure.
This one's gonna be real easy.
Well, before you do that, we're going to take a break here in a minute or two. I do want to mention in this documentary I watched, they said it was amazing that the wall was basically torn down entirely by citizens. The government didn't do it. The military didn't do it. They didn't bring in contractors or anything. That wall, a large portion of it, especially in the downtown Berlin area where it was at, said the majority of that, Pastor Chatfield, was torn down by regular citizens.
Amen. There you go. I mean, and by the way, everybody doesn't like the free system. Let me just tell this to the listeners. They're not old enough to remember this. You and I, when we were in high school yet, and in college, there were a lot of people on the left in our country that were still apologists for communism and socialism. It's not that bad. It wasn't until after the fall of the Soviet Union and the Iron Curtain came down and all the reports came out, is there a universal condemnation of communism? It wasn't so in the 70s. It sounds good now, you know. But Reagan, that was a courageous thing to say.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you held that one. The next one coming up. Going down memory lane with Pastor Chatfield this morning. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source. Michigan.